Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. Today, I get to welcome back a dear friend and an incredible man who has given such wisdom and encouragement to people around the world, Mr. Bob Berg. Thank you, Bob, for being back with me.
Sharon Lecter, one of my heroes, favorite people, real life action heroes. It is just always a delight to be with you.
Well, I don't get a chance to talk to you often enough, but I'm so happy to have you back on the podcast, because for those of you, very few of you don't know who he is, but for those of you who might not know who Bob is, he has been an icon in our industry. And he started off with sales, endless referrals, but then he quickly moved into the world of really his title, the blockbuster book, The Go-Giver, understanding the importance of giving back and supporting others. He co-authored that with John David Mann, and it started a whole series of books. So The Go-Giver Influencer, we talked about a couple of years ago, and just an incredible movement. Now he's created a whole mentoring program around it. But I just love having you on the show, because we believe a lot of the same things related to service versus selling. So welcome back, Bob. Thanks so much for being with me today.
My absolute pleasure and honor.
Yeah, the notes I got once said to you that you had a drive-by mentor. Tell me about that.
Well, this is a phrase, I guess, coined by, I think, one of my current mentors, whose name is Dondi Scumaci. And Dondi is just a very wise, wonderful leader, great author and practitioner. And we were talking one day about people who come into your life who you may not have a relationship. You may hardly even know them. You may never have met them before, but they happen to give you that kind of one piece of advice that not only do you need, but you're open to and ready to receive. And we were talking about a person who, this is almost 40 years ago now, and I had moved to a new company doing sales. It was a high-end, high-ticket item, and I was in a slump. And it was really the first significant slump of my sales career, and I was just, you know, desperate to get out of it. And of course, the more I tried to get out of the slump, the more my focus was on myself, and it became about the sale instead of about serving the other person, right? And so this guy who, you know, he was a much older guy, wasn't even in the sales department. I think he was in the engineering department, if I remember. Didn't know him very well, but one of these people who just, you know, nice guy, didn't say much, but whenever he did say something, it tended to be profound. Right. We've all known those people. And I think he saw me as Joe, who would be the protege in the Go-Giver, which I would write with John David Mann 25 years, 30 years after that conversation. But he saw me as that young, up and coming, ambitious, aggressive, really at it sales guy who was very frustrated, because he was not living up to his potential and whose focus was not in the right place. And he said to me, Berg — he was a last name kind of guy — he said, Berg, can I give you some advice? And I said, sure, absolutely, I need it. And he said, if you want to make a lot of money in sales, he said, don't have making money as your target. Your target, he said, is serving others. Now, when you hit the target, you'll get a reward, and that reward will come in the form of money. And you can do with that money whatever you choose, but never forget, he said, the money is simply the reward for hitting the target. it ain't the target itself. Your target is serving others. And you know, Sharon, that's when it hit me that great salesmanship is never about the salesperson. Great salesmanship is never about the product or service, as important as those are. Great salesmanship is always about the other person. It's about that person whose life you choose to add value to. It's about that person whose life is better just because you are part of it.
I love that. I want everybody to rewind and re-listen to what this, it's not even a gold nugget. It's a brick of gold that Bob just delivered. Incredible. Because, you know, I'm not nearly that eloquent, Bob, because when I talk about it, I said, when you sell, it's a transaction, one-time thing, and you have to go back and do it over and over again.
Right.
But when you serve, you actually create a relationship, and then that relationship develops a lifetime of sales. So, but you are much more eloquent. I love
that. No, I don't think that. You are very eloquent. I've been blessed to be, we've shared the stage, which really in the speaking business means we're at the same program speaking.
Yes.
So I've got to be in the audience taking notes while you are speaking on stage. And you are eloquent, believe me, eloquent and elegant.
Oh, thank you. Oh my gosh. I'm going to rewind that part. So Bob, tell me, we talk about the Go-Giver and the whole series of books, but it really is framed around that concept you just shared. So also you talk about the five laws. Can you kind of hit those five laws again for us? Because I want our listeners and viewers to really be taking notes about this, because this has now hit the world. You are over 30 languages, over 1 million books sold.
Yeah.
You really simplify the concept of contribution.
Well, thank you. Yeah, The Go-Giver, and it's a series of four books. Three of them are parables, co-authored with John David Mann, who is, as you know, John is the lead writer. He's the storyteller. I'm a how-to guy. I'm step one, step through, step three. I'm boring, okay? John is a magnificent storyteller, so we collaborated on it. And The Go-Giver is real. The basic premise around which the five laws are built is simply that shifting your focus, and this is really the key, shifting your focus from getting to giving. And when we say giving in this context, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing immense value to others, understanding that doing so is not only a more fulfilling way of conducting business, it's the most financially profitable way as well. And, you know, Sharon, it's not because of some woo-woo way out there, magical, mystical type of reasons, not at all. It actually makes very rational sense, very logical sense. When you're that person who can shift your focus off of yourself, take your focus off of yourself and actually place it onto helping others, discovering what they want, what they need, what they desire, being focused on helping them solve or overcome their challenges and problems. When you can take your focus off yourself and place it on helping others to get closer to happiness, if you will, right? People feel good about you. People want to get to know you. They like you. They trust you. They want to be in relationship with you, as you were talking about earlier. They want to be part of your life, part of your business, right? And so that's really what it's all about. And so this premise has five laws, the laws of value, compensation, influence, authenticity, and receptivity. And
I love that.
Go through those if you want, or we can, however you like.
Well, let's do that, because I actually love the receptivity one, because I think a lot of people do the first few and then they don't. The receptivity is where they drop the ball.
The toughest one for most people.
Yes. Just step through them real quickly for us. I think that would be great.
Sure. So law number one, the law of value, says your true worth, in the business sense, of course, your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Counterintuitive when you first hear it, right? Give more in value than I take in payment. I mean, that sounds like a recipe for bankruptcy. So we simply have to understand the difference between price and value. Price is a dollar figure. It's a dollar amount. It's finite. It is what it is. Value, on the other hand, is the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something, to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, service, concept, idea, what have you, that brings so much worth or value to another person that they will willingly exchange their money for it and be glad they did while you make a very healthy profit? So, for example, and I just think this is a fairly concrete one. If you were to hire you began as an accountant, right? And so if you were to hire an accountant, let's say, to do your taxes, and this accountant, she charges you $1,000, just round figure, $1,000. That's her fee, literally her price, $1,000. But what's the value that she's giving you in exchange for this? Well, she saves you $5,000 in taxes that you wouldn't be able to save for yourself. She saves you countless hours of time. She provides you and your family with the security and the peace of mind of knowing it's done correctly. So she just gave you well over $5,000 in value in exchange for $1,000 price. She gave you more in value than she took in payment. So you feel great about it, and she made a very healthy profit. But here's the important thing. This happened not because she was focused on the fee, okay? She was focused on the immense value she was providing. This is why John and I say that money is simply an echo of value. It's the thunder, if you will, to value's lightning, which means nothing more than that the value must be the focus. The value comes first. The money you receive is a very natural and direct result of the value you've provided. There's also another very important aspect of this. And by the way, I'll do the other laws a lot faster, but here it is. In any free market-based exchange, and when we say free market, we simply mean no one is forced to do business with anyone else, okay? In any market-based exchange, there should always be two profits, the buyer profits and the seller profits, because each of them come away better off afterwards than they were before.
I love that. Absolutely love that. Yeah, I think that's so important because, you know, I would say 1 + 1's 11, not 2.
Right. Ah, yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'll say the win for both parties and the joint customer. So it's really important.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think it's one of my mantras is, you know, I grew up with a father that asked me, John, have you added value to someone's life today? And so for me, it's really important in any exchange for me to feel like I've given made a contribution,
sure.
Been
exactly.
More of a giver than a taker. So yeah. Let's hear that.
What you say is so important, giver as opposed to taker. See, a lot of people think the opposite of a go-giver is a go-getter. It's not. The opposite of a go-giver is a go-taker. We love go-getters. Go-getters take action, right? And we know we're all business people. You are, I am, everyone watching, listening, we're business people. We know you can have the nicest thoughts, best ideas, greatest intent, but unless action is put into the mix, nothing is going to happen. So when you combine being a go-getter, a person of action, and a go-giver, a person absolutely focused on bringing immense value to others, that's powerful. So we say be a go-getter and a go-giver, just don't be a go-taker.
Yep, absolutely. I love it. So let's go to number two.
Okay. Law number two, the law of compensation says your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. So where law number one says to give more in value than you take in payment, law number two tells us that the more people whose lives you impact or touch with the exceptional value you provide, the more money with which you'll be rewarded. Law number three is the law of influence. This says your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. Again, counterintuitive, it sounds counterproductive or even Pollyanna-ish, right? Your influence is how you place others' interests first. So let's look at this a little bit. When we say place other people's interests first, we don't mean you should be anyone's doormat or a martyr or self-sacrificial in any way. Absolutely not at all. It's simply as Joe, the protege in the story, learned from several of the mentors, the golden rule of business of sales is simply that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. And there is no faster more powerful or more effective way to elicit those feelings toward you in others, Sharon, than by genuinely moving from what we call an I focus or me focus to an other focus? Or as Sam, one of the mentors, told Joe, make your win all about the other person's win.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people say, Angela has been working with me for 21 years. I hired her as an intern out of college. She did a mock-up of a magazine cover for me just as a gift and kind of as a compliment. And she said about me, a legacy of creating other legacies.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know, and it's like, because pouring into other people, seeing the more them, more for them than they see for themselves.
And that's what you've done. Yeah.
It was really powerful. I loved it. Mm-hmm. So keep going. Let's go.
Well, law number four is the law of authenticity. And this one says the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. In this part of the story, the mentor, Deborah Davenport, shared a very important lesson she had learned, and that is all the skills in the world, the sales skills, technical skills, people skills, as important as they are, and they are indeed all very, very important, they're also all for naught if you don't come at it from your true authentic core. But when you do, when you, as we like to say, show up as yourself, right? Day after day, week after week, month after month, people feel good about you. People feel comfortable with you. People feel safe with you. And why wouldn't they? They know who they're getting. They know who they're getting. So, you know, showing up authentically is good business. Now, so why don't people always show up authentically? What about those people who show up as sort of a, I think the correct Latin term is phonus balonus, right? They don't really see, and we think, well, are they trying to pull one over? Are they dishonest? Well, it's a big world. There's lots of people out there. So we need to understand that, but that's not usually it. I got to tell you, Sharon, 99.999% of the time when someone doesn't show up authentically, it's really because they don't have the self-confidence to do so. They don't recognize, they don't embrace the value they bring to the table. I believe as human beings, we have two types of value. We have intrinsic value, which simply means just by being here, we bring value to the table. But we also have what I call market value. And I define market value as that combination of strengths, traits, talents, and characteristics that allow a person to give or bring value to the marketplace in such a way that they will be financially rewarded for it. We all have this value. We all have this market value. The challenge is sometimes it's really difficult for us to see it in ourselves because we're human beings. We are emotionally so close to ourselves. You know, we remember the 15-year-old who was, you know, too shy to talk to girls and who, you know, spit milk out of their nose. And, you know, I mean, just, you know, right? And we all come with our own, you know, kind of mishigasa, you know, with our own kind of areas that we just don't feel confident in. And so, you know, we might look at the world around us and we all see the world from our, you know, from our own set of beliefs. And we don't see that what we provide as being of such immense value, which it is to others.
Because we know it and we don't realize everybody else doesn't. This is an issue I have all the time. It's like common sense to me is not common sense to someone
else. Exactly.
You know, you have to realize that you've got something to share.
And here's what happens. It's because of this that we reduce fees when we shouldn't, that we sell ourselves short, that we do things that we shouldn't do because we feel that we don't have enough to be able to say no to things that we don't feel are, you know, that we, and so forth. And it really ends up, and that's why it's so important, I think, a lot of times to have a coach or mentor like you who can dispassionately be able to see this person. Yeah, you care about them, but you're not so emotionally involved that you can't see the forest for the trees.
That's
and
right.
I know you've been such a mentor to so many people. And that's one of the biggest parts about it, is that to be able to look more objectively and help a person to be able to see that. Now, there's also one more thing about authenticity. And I think this is where I think this the term gets confused a lot. I think sometimes people see authenticity as having no filters, right? Just this is who I am. If you don't like it, too bad. Which, by the way, is a good philosophy if you don't want to have any friends and if you want to be broke, okay? Other than that, not such a good philosophy. Really, authenticity can really be defined as living congruently with your values. And that's what authenticity is. It doesn't mean you just, I'm an obnoxious person and that's just who I am. Fine. No, not at all. You know, it's like the person says, well, I have anger issues and I yell at people a lot. And if I were to act any differently, that wouldn't be authentic of me. That's malarkey. That's baloney. It simply means that person has an authentic problem that they need to authentically work on, right, in order to become a better, higher, more effective, authentic version of themselves. So we never want people to use authenticity as an excuse for not growing, but use it instead as motivation for stepping into our highest authentic selves.
Yeah, I think authenticity also, definitely congruence with your values, but also consistently. I find it a compliment when people say to me, you're so down to earth, you're the same on stage as off the stage, and it's like, sure. I am sure. Who I am. And I think so many times in the world we live in, this fear of criticism, this fear of not being good enough, we tend to put on airs. We tend to be less authentic than we want to be because we feel like we need to be less authentic. And so it certainly when I first started speaking, it was you wanted to come across as the authority. You didn't want people to see that you had issues that you had to deal with. And the world today is, part of endearing yourself to the audience is being totally open and transparent about the bad days as well as the good days, right?
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I still remember an agent 4 or 5 years ago out of New York told me, Sharon, just, you could probably be more vulnerable. And when I couldn't even say the word vulnerable. okay. It's an interesting. So let's talk about receptivity.
Yeah. So the key of the law of receptivity, which is the fifth law, which kind of brings it all home, says that the key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. And Sharon, this really means nothing more than understanding that, yes, you breathe out, but you also have to breathe in. It's not one or the other. You breathe out carbon dioxide, breathe in oxygen. Breathe out, which is giving. Breathe in, which is receiving. Giving and receiving are simply two sides of the very same coin. Okay, they work in tandem. It's not, are you a giver or a receiver? No, you're a giver and a receiver. The challenge is the messages we receive from the world around us do not tell us this. The messages from the world around us in terms of prosperity, abundance, money, success, business are very, very negative messages. And we get them from everywhere. And whether it's for most people, a combination of upbringing, environment, schooling, news media, television shows, movies. And you look at movies and, one of my favorite prosperity authorities, Randy Gage, does this magnificent vignette about how, if you watch any top-selling movie, there are typically two types of people who are portrayed. There are the good people who are usually, they're struggling, they're poor, they're happy, they're honest, right? They're always poor but happy, right? But they're always being pushed around, pushed down, stepped on, stepped over, taken advantage of by who? The rich people who are always mean and nasty and cowardly and, they have no soul. And this is a message. And again, he does a great vignette. I won't try to go through it, but it's just wonderful. One thing he says, and I think this is so poignant. He talks about the first Spider-Man movie where Peter Parker and Uncle Ben are talking about, being poor. And Uncle Ben says, well, Peter, we may be poor, but at least we're honest. Oh, what a horrible message that is for a young person to see. Because what's the presupposition? What's the premise that if you're honest, you're poor?
Yep. If you're rich, you're not honest. Yep.
Right. And so all this message, and it's not, you know, people say, well, it's just a movie. No, first of all, it's every movie, but it's also half the tweets. It's half the LinkedIn post, Facebook post, rather. It's, you know, everything. It's for the news media. It's every television, you know, whatever. This just gets into a, and as you know, it gets into the unconscious, not the conscious. So what's happening is you get these messages all the time. And now you get to a point where you're in business and you're bringing this exquisite value to the world around you, and you're touching people's lives, and you're about to receive, but these messages get in your head. They're in your head, actually, that are saying, well, wait a second. If you have money, you must have done something wrong. You must be dishonest. You must have pulled one over on someone. And by the way, your friends aren't going to like you. They're going to think you've changed, and all these messages. And that keeps us from being able to accept and receive. So I tell people, and you're always part of this conversation, because I always say there are certain people who, first of all, what I say is we should all make a study, a proactive study of prosperity, because we get the garbage coming in our heads all the time from everywhere around us. So we need to proactively study. So there are certain people I recommend. I recommend Randy Gage. I recommend Bob Proctor. I recommend Ellen Rogan of Chicago. I recommend Sharon Lecter. I recommend David Nagel. I recommend Ken Honda of Japan. These are people who all, they write books on it. They blog, they have videos, they have podcasts, they do. And 99.999% of what they talk about is the inner game.
That's right.
Right. Allowing ourselves.
And all my money programs, I have the exercise you need to do about the money is coupled with a mindset exercise.
Exactly.
Because if you don't change the way you think about money, you're never going to change your circumstance. So it's so much about getting rid of that scarcity mindset, mm-hmm. or that taking mindset and putting it into an abundance giving yeah. mindset. It's so very important. It does set me apart from a lot of people in the industry, because it is really, you know, we don't know what we don't know. And there's so much trapped in our subconscious that keeps us back, become yeah. our own worst enemy. So Bob, tell our listeners and our readers, because you've got a new program, and tell people how they can find you. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, anyone can find me at burg.com. We do have Kathy Tajanel, my brilliant business partner, and I have a what we call Go Giver Success Alliance. It's a membership community, though we call it a mentorship community, because the people who are members, we're all mentoring each other. I mean, I'm kind of the facilitator, I guess, but there are so many amazing people in this group that, you know, we all bring our, really what it is we learn from each other. We discuss with each other. We strategize with each other. We collaborate with each other, and we build these amazing relationships with each other. So, I would suggest if you go to burg.com and scroll down the page a little, you'll see a picture of a few people having coffee at Rachel's Famous Coffee Cafe, which you'd know what that is if you've read The Go-Giver. Otherwise, if you read the book, you'll know what that is. And check it out and join us if you'd like.
Well, I think that's fantastic. And I want everybody to promise themselves to rewind, re-listen to this podcast, because it's incredible. Bob is a gift to anyone who knows him. And make sure you go get The Go-Giver and give it to your friends, all four of them. Every one of them is a fantastic book. So, but I want you to know that Bob's going to hang in here and do a shorter interview. We talk about success habits for the Facebook group, the Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter, the private Facebook group. So if you're not part of that, make sure you join so you get the rest of the story with Bob Burg. So Bob, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for hanging in there. Appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Sharon. Appreciate you.
And for all of you, thank you for listening to this episode of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. You are all fabulous. Go out and have a go-giver day. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much, and have a fabulous day.